Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Financial Peace University. Tonight's lesson, what we're going to talk about in this session, is super savers. And that's something the typical American is not today. We are not super savers. So make sure you've got that arranged in your workbook. And as you know, as we go through the workbooks, you're going to fill in the blank. And I'm going to pop the words up on the screen, and you'll be able to fill in the blank as we go along in each lesson. And that does two or three things. One is it keeps you awake. And two is it sticks it into your brain. Because as you write it, as you laugh about it, as you cry about it, as you elbow your spouse about it, going, you know, we ought to be doing this. As you do that kind of stuff, you will learn. And that's the purpose. I want this stuff to stick down into your psyche, and I'm well aware that learning is well attached to activity and to emotion. And so we're going to do a lot of that as we go through together. The first thing we want to look at is that savings must become a priority. You have to make it a priority. You have to learn to pay yourself first, give, save, and then pay bills. Now that sounds like your grandmother. Well, your grandmother had some common sense. Give, save, and then pay bills. I was meeting with a little youth pastor a while back, and he said, Dave, I'm having trouble with my budget. By the time I get down to tithing and saving, I don't have anything left. I said, honey, that's because you have your budget upside down. You have to start with those two. If you don't make savings a priority, if it doesn't come off the top, you'll never do it. And most people in North America today aren't doing it. This was published in the Wall Street Journal. The average Japanese family is saving 18.1% of their after-tax income, where the typical U.S. family has a negative savings rate. The little one over there on the right, that's us, U.S., negative 2.2%. We are not having fun with this money thing. Or we are having too much fun, and we're not going to have fun. We are destined towards a retirement where you have to buy that cookbook, 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Love It. You know? You're going to have to make a decision. But I'll tell you this. I have discovered that savings is about emotion. Savings is about emotion. It is about contentment. Savings is about emotion and contentment. The truth is this, that is a secret key that will unlock your ability to save. You see, you will not save money when you get a raise. You will not save money when you get a debt paid off. You will save money when it becomes very, very, very important to save money. Let me show you what I'm talking about. How many of you have children? When I get your hand up, please leave it up. How many of you have children? Raise them up. Be proud. How many of you hope to someday? Not real soon necessarily, but someday. Everybody, want your hands up. Keep it up. How many of you have a kid anywhere on the planet you kind of like? Good. Okay, now we pretty much got everyone, right? Now, the truth is, if I came in and I said, look, I got some really bad news. There is a disease going around that is wiping out children. And there's a vaccine for that disease that you have to buy for your child in the next 9 months or they will, well, they'll be gone. That's pretty serious. The vaccine costs $10,000. And you're not allowed to use $10,000 of your relative's money, and you're not allowed to use $10,000 that you have now. How many of us could come up with $10,000 to save our child's life in 9 months? Some lady's going, which kid? It's but the truth is, what happened? You didn't just get a raise. I mean, that's a horrible example, a bad story, but it makes us think that when savings becomes important enough, we'll do it. I mean, you're thinking extra job. You're thinking we're going to sell some things. We're going to have a garage sale. We're going to do some things different. We're going to get on a budget. You're thinking, this is serious. This matters. Hey, folks, this is serious. This matters. We have a whole generation moving towards retirement thinking our government, who can't keep books, is going to take care of them. This is serious. You're going to be broke and hungry. You better take care of yourself. People under 30 years old, more of them believe in UFOs than Social Security. You better get ready. And they're right. If you think social insecurity is going to take care of you, you can't do math. That deal is gone. It's a political football. The mathematics of it died years ago. I'm not some fearmonger. It's not a conspiracy theory. Anybody that can do fourth grade compound interest can tell you it doesn't work anymore. You think your broke government who can't balance its books is going to take care of you? You better get serious. It's serious. Well, my daddy will take care of me. Your daddy may be broke, and you don't know it. Because our parents, well, they don't talk about sex and they don't talk about money. We figured they had neither. Turns out they had both. You've got to make a decision to get after this saving stuff. You've got to make a decision. It has to become an emotional priority. Well, Dave, building wealth, that's like, then I'll be one of those evil rich people. That would be a plan, except don't be an evil one. See, money is amoral. It doesn't have morals. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. Money's just like this brick. I can take this brick and throw it through a window. The brick doesn't care. Or I can take this brick and build a hospital or a church. The brick doesn't care. It's amoral. It doesn't have morals. It's not immoral. It is lacking of good or bad morals. This stuff is the same way. It's not any different. There's nothing evil about this. There's nothing inherently good about this. You're not good if you have some. You're not good if you don't. Sometimes I hear people say, well, those mean, old, ugly, rich people. Hey, some of the grossest, most greedy people I know are rich people. You know some of them? Do you? Yes or no? Is this thing on? Do you? Okay. Do you know some gross rich people? I do. I know a few of them just jerks. You know, I also know some rich people who are some of the best people on the planet, don't you? Do you know some poor people that are jerks? I do. Do you know some poor people who are some of the best people on the planet? I do. Money is amoral. It doesn't have morals. But when you place it in the hand of a human, it starts taking on that human's characteristics. So sometimes we see jerks with bricks and then we blame the bricks. They're just a jerk. It's not a brick problem, okay? Larry Burkett, the famous Christian author, says that the only difference in hoarding and saving is attitude. We're going to teach you to save money for three basic reasons through this session. Number one is, well, before we do that, I want to remind you that in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Now, let's look at that Bible verse for just a second, because that really explains what we're talking about. Wise people save money. If you spend everything you make, you're a fool. Don't get mad at me. God said it. And according to that particular thing, I have been a fool in my life. According to that particular Bible verse, I have also been wise at times in my life. It is wise to have stores of choice food and oil. Now, I'm not one of these financial guys that believes you ought to live in a cave and collect lint and only come out on triple coupon Thursday. Okay? I live my life. I have a good time. Money is for fun, it's for giving, and it's for growing things, like my family tree. It's for impacting those I love and those things I care about that God directs me to impact. Money is a blast, but don't get confused. It is not to be just hoarded and held, whether it's $10 or whether it's $10 million.